Let me speak to you for a few moments this morning on this topic, what you can't lose, what you can lose, and what you should lose. What you can't lose, what you cannot lose, what you can lose, and what you should lose. Look here at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read there beginning in verse number 35. Let's stand together if you're physically able to, and we'll read just a few verses. Romans chapter 8 and verses 35 down through verse number 39. The Bible says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded." I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. I am fully persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, please help us today as we open up this book that was given to us by you, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. This is not man's book and man's word. This is God's book. This is God's words. And may you use it today in a powerful way. May your Spirit speak to us and help us. Lord, if there's a decision that someone needs to make today, help them to make that. Lord, if there's a truth that somebody needs to understand more clearly today, help them to understand that. But please work in our hearts, I ask you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. What you cannot lose, what you can lose, and what you should lose. First, let me share with you some things quickly, what you can't lose, what you cannot lose. Number one, you cannot lose God's love for you. You cannot lose God's love for you. We read there, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who, Romans 8, verse 35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nobody. No one. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. It says down a bit further, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You know what? That ought to make you glad this morning. If you know that you are loved by God today, you are loved by the Heavenly Father. You are loved by the one who created this world, who made you. The fact that he loves you ought to encourage you. It ought to make you be able to whisper out an amen. It ought to be able to make you thank you. It ought to be able to make you smile and be glad that God loves you. God loves you. And nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. Stop for a moment and really think about the fact that God loves you. You know, sometimes we could maybe get the idea, well, I'm just some little, I'm just so insignificant little thing in God's creation. No, you're not. You're important. You're important to God. He knows how many hairs you've got on your head this morning, Brian Hebert. He knows every thought that you think. He knows every step that you take. He knows everything about you. God loves you. God cares about you. You know, the greatest message that you could ever hear in your life would be those three words, that God loves you. You. God loves you. I was somewhere Friday or Saturday somewhere, and I was getting the oil changed on the church van. And so the lady at the service booth and whatever, she was calling me when the van was ready, and she said, it's gospel van? And yeah, that's me. So I came over to this, and I said, do you know what gospel means? She said, no. I said, it means good news. Good news that God loves you, that Jesus died for you. I didn't say a whole lot to this lady. She was working. But, you know, I told her the greatest message I could ever tell anyone. God loves you. God loves you. And do you know that there's never anything that we can do that can stop us or stop God from loving us? He loves his creation. He loves us. In spite of our sin, he loves us. He's a good God. You know, there's a wonderful song in our song book that says this: Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. For me he died, and the crimson tide proves that he loves me, that Jesus loves me. So sing it again, that Jesus loves me. Hey, it's good news that God loves you. It's good news that Jesus loves me. Hey, don't ever get too big for Jesus loves me. Right? A song that some of you probably learned in Sunday school when you were just a kid. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Hey, he loves you. He loves you. That's the greatest news in all the world, is that God loves us. God loves us. There's a little song that we've had on some kids' CDs before. It says this: for I'm persuaded to believe that you can't separate us from the wonderful love of God. From above us, he will love us if we let him live within us as upon this earth we trod. Neither height nor depth nor principality, things present nor things to come. For though the devil hate us, he can never separate us from the wonderful love of God. All right. That's how it is on the kid's CD. Hey, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He loves you. He loves me. There's not a person in this world that he does not care about you. It doesn't matter if you're a saint or a sinner. It doesn't matter if you've been saved or you're still lost and you're looking for truth in your life. I want you to know this morning that God loves you. He cares about you. There's nothing that you could ever do that would separate us from the love of God. Some people may get the idea, well, I'm too big of a sinner. I'm too much of a sinner. God could never love me. That's not true. God loves sinners, and God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for sinners. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints. The saints and saints, huh? You can't ever lose God's love. Nobody can ever stop God from loving you. There's nothing that you could ever do that would stop God from loving you. Nobody can ever steal God's love away from you. You know, the God who created the universe, he loves Tony. And he loves Paul. And he loves Miss Nori, and he loves Lori, and he loves Brian and Jessica, and he loves Trisha, and he loves Daisy, and he loves Rodora, and he loves Peter, and he loves Michael, and he loves Colin. Listen, he loves us. He loves you and me this morning. He loves you, Nathan. He loves you, Alice. He loves you, Betty. He loves you. He loves you, Rima. He loves us very, very much. Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. What you can't lose, you cannot ever lose God's love for you. Number two, if you've been born again, you can never lose your position as a child of God. If you've truly been born again, you can never lose your position as a child of God. In John chapter 3, verses 4-7, Nicodemus said this to Jesus. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Listen, if you have by faith trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you are born again into God's family. You become his child. Galatians 3:26 says you become the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Once you are born again, once you are brought into God's family, once you are adopted into God's family, he doesn't ever kick you out of the family of God. You're his. You're his child. You know, in Bible times, when a child was adopted into a family, that family could never just disown that child, if you will, or say, I don't want them anymore. I don't want the responsibility. When a child was adopted, that was a serious thing. Listen, the Bible relates to us these truths, of course, about being born again and the new birth takes place and we become a child of God. But the Bible also tells us that we're adopted. We're adopted into God's family. We're adopted as sons and daughters. And once you become a child of God, once you become a child of the Heavenly Father, He doesn't ever disown you. He doesn't ever kick you out. He doesn't ever say, I'm sick of the way you're acting. You're not a very nice child. Get out of my family. Listen, I've never done that with any one of my children. I love them. BJ is 18 and Ashley is 16 and Eric is 14 and Jessica is 12 and Rebecca, she's gone out, but she turns 10 next week. Jenna turned 8 today and Stephen is 5 years old. Right? They have never got me to the point of frustration where I've said, I don't want you in my family anymore. No, they're my children. I absolutely love them. Do they ever do wrong? Oh, yes, they do. Because they're like their mother. No, I'm sorry. They're like me. They're sinners, right? They're sinners, right? But I'll never say, you're not mine any longer. I don't want you. No, they're my children. I love them. There's never anything that they could do where I would not want them in my family any longer. They're my child. They're my children. And I love them. And once you become a child of God, you are always His child. Romans 8, 14 to 17 tells us that we are the sons of God, you know, if we've believed, if we've trusted Christ and so on. And that we have that privilege to call God our Father. And it says that the Holy Spirit, He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. John 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Listen, we become the sons and daughters of God. We become the children of God when you by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you accept the fact that you're a sinner and that God is God and He is holy and understand that a holy, perfect God, He hates sin. He won't let any sin into heaven, but He does love sinners. And He loves you and me so much, He loves His creation so much that even though we've gone astray, even though Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, even though we've all chosen to sin, we willfully sin, we sin by our nature, we sin by our choice, but even though we're sinners, He loved us. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we really acted like enemies to God, and we don't treat God like we should, and we don't seek after God like we should in our human sin nature, still God loved us, and even though we weren't seeking for Him, He was seeking for us. Why did the Son of God, why did Jesus Christ come into the world? He came to seek and to save the lost, the Bible says. He came seeking for you. He came seeking for me. He came seeking for those that were lost, that were gone astray, that were lost in their sin and didn't even know how bad they had it and didn't even know what was waiting for them. But He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin so that we might be saved, so that we might become the children of God. You don't become a child of God by your own power, by your own goodness, by your own merit, by your own righteousness. When you believe on and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it is by His power that you're born again into God's family. We sing a song sometimes, a little chorus that says this, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm glad to be part of that family. I know I'm His child. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior many years ago, June of 1981. It was that night, late on a Sunday night, kneeling beside my bed, green carpet, a room I shared with my brother, that night I knelt by my bed and I prayed and trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Have I ever done wrong since then? Yes. But He forgave me of my sins that night, and I became a child of God. And He's never kicked me out of His family. He doesn't do that. Thank God this morning that you can never, 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 never lose your position as a child of God. What you cannot lose. Hey, you cannot lose God's love for you. Number two, you cannot lose your position as a child of God if you've truly been born again. And number three, you cannot lose your salvation.
You cannot lose your salvation. John 5 and verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." It's your possession now. It's yours. "And he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Listen, if you've been born again, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are no longer condemned. You stand complete in Christ Jesus. Even as we said in Sunday school, that though we're not perfect, I stand righteous, I stand complete in Christ. I become His child. 1 John 5:11 to 13 says this, and this is the record. Here it is. This is what declares it. This is the record. This is what you can depend upon. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. We don't earn eternal life. We don't work for eternal life. We don't buy our way into heaven. We don't earn our way into heaven simply by our good works. We receive the gift of heaven. We receive the gift of eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. It says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know." God wants us to know for sure. Have a certainty in our heart. That you may know that you have eternal life. You don't live life from day to day wondering, am I going to go to heaven or not? Am I really saved or not? God doesn't want you to have doubts about that. God wants you to be able to know within your heart that my sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm His. You cannot lose your salvation once you have it. I'm not hoping to go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I've got eternal life. I don't just hope so. I know so. Praise God that we can have a complete assurance of our salvation. I know today 100% sure with this confidence that I'm saved eternally because I'm trusting on the promises of God. I'm not trusting on my works. I'm not trusting on my merit. I'm not trusting on the things I do. It's not going to matter how good of a neighbor I was, or how good of a husband I was, or it's not my righteousness or my works that can get me to heaven. All of us are sinners, but some of us are sinners that have been saved by the grace of God, by the grace of God. And that may be the difference between me and someone here today. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I would long for you to know that. I want you to know Him as your Savior and have the freedom that I have and have the peace in your heart knowing that your sins are forgiven, you're God's child, and you're on your way to heaven. Praise God that we can have assurance of salvation. My salvation isn't just based on some feelings as to whether or not I happen to have it that day. My salvation is based on the facts. It's based on the truth of God's Word. John 3:36 tells us that if we believe on the Son, we have everlasting life. John 3:15 and 16 tells us that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life, have everlasting life. John 10 and verse 28 tells us that Christ gives unto us eternal life. The gift of salvation, it is a gift, truly. We don't work for it, we don't pay for it, we don't buy it. He gives it and we receive it by faith. Christ gives unto us eternal life and promises us we shall never perish. We shall never perish. Not only are we saved and born again by the power of God, but 1 Peter 1:5 tells us that we are kept by the power of God. We're saved by God's grace. We're saved by His power, but we're also kept. We're kept. We're safe. We're secure because of God's power and ability to keep us saved. What a wonderful salvation that God gives us. It's secure, it's eternal, it's forever. Hey, what you cannot lose this morning? What cannot you lose? What you cannot lose this morning? Number one, you cannot lose God's love for you. Number two, you cannot lose your position as a child of God if you've truly been born again. Number three, you cannot lose your salvation. Three things that you cannot lose this morning. Be thankful for them. If you don't know for sure that you have those things, need to make sure. Let me share with you something quickly, what you can lose. What you can lose. We can lose, you can lose, I can lose that special close fellowship with the Heavenly Father. I know that I'm saved, I'm a child of God, and nobody can ever change that. But you know what, it's possible that I can do some things in my life that can cause me to lose a close fellowship, a close relationship with my Heavenly Father. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." Nobody's cut off God's arm. He's still able to reach down to you. He's still able to save you. He's still able to pull us out of the mire and set our feet on the rock. He can still save us. "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." For me as a child of God, you know, there are times that if I just want to go on in my life and just live in sinful life, live carnally, walk in the flesh rather than walking in the spirit, I am just absolutely hindering my relationship with God. That's going to make it so God's not going to want to hear and answer my prayers. That would make it so that God's not going to want to help my family when I have a need. You know that sin in our life can hinder our prayers from being answered. You know, when a child does wrong, it temporarily hinders that relationship. It hinders that closeness. Let's say you've got a child, a young child, and they do wrong. They know they've done wrong. You know what? They may tend to want to hide a little bit. There may be a feeling of guilt because they've done wrong that, you know, hinders relationship. They may get in trouble with mom and dad, and mom and dad are going to have to punish them. And for a little while, it's trouble. It's trouble. But you know what the wonderful thing is when a child and parent will make it right? When a child will admit that they did wrong and parent can forgive them. You know, there may be some punishment necessary, but, you know, a child will admit they're wrong and parent can tell them that they love them and tell them they can forgive them. And they can just, you know, give them a big old hug and spend some time with them and snuggle on the couch with them or just wherever it is that you deal with them. You know, a bathroom, wherever it is you go to talk to them. And then you just give that child a, you know, big old hug, and they get to give you a big hug. And maybe they've been even crying some or sobbing a little bit, and that whimpering gets to be a little bit less and less. Yeah, and mom's wiping her tears away from her eyes too and stuff. Afterwards, it's sweet, and afterwards, it's wonderful. But there maybe could be a time where things are not good, right? A relationship is being hurt. A fellowship is being broken. When children just do wrong and it's not made right, it'll hurt the relationship. And it's true in our relationship with God. But praise God that fellowship can be restored. If you and I, as His children, we do things we should not, and we do things where we just get in the flesh, and we do sinful things. Thank God there's a promise in the Scriptures. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And fellowship can be restored and we can be brought back into a closeness with God. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. But you know what? If we'll confess our sins and make it right, there'll be sweet fellowship, sweet closeness. And that's what God wants. What can we lose? We can lose close fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If we just go on in sin as a child of God and we don't make it right with Him, what can we lose? Well, I'd say this as well. You can lose your rewards in heaven. You can lose your rewards in heaven. Do you know that God wants to reward His children in heaven? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 and 15, 13 to 15, you can look at it with me if you have your Bible open. 1 Corinthians 3:13 to 15, it says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." One day it'll all be made seen. It'll all be declared. It says, "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." The fire is really going to reveal how we've lived and what we've lived for, if it's really been things that matter or not. It says, "For the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire." The Bible doesn't say in that verse that you'll lose your salvation. In fact, it says the opposite.
You will still be saved. But you know what? If we've done some things for, as children of God, as people of God, if we've not lived for Christ and we've not lived for eternal things, and we've sometimes just walked in ways that were fleshly and we lived for sinful things and so on, the Bible says the fire is going to try our works. Listen, if you put a fire to wood, to hay, to stubble, to paper, to trash and so on, what's going to happen? It's going to burn up. But if you take a fire to things that are, you know, gold and silver and things like that, all it does is purify it even more. The Bible goes on in those verses and talks about that. Listen, we need to make sure as Christians that we are living our lives for things that really matter for eternity. So that when God tries our fire, not in a judgment where we will be condemned for sin, but at a judgment, if you will, where we'll be rewarded. The Bema Seat judgment, we call it sometimes. If we've lived for those things that really matter for eternity, we'll be rewarded. If we've not, the fire will just try up our works and so on. And maybe it'll be that there's nothing. There's nothing left. 1 Peter 1 verse number 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold and silver that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what? I want my life one day, when my life is tried, I want it to have brought glory to my Heavenly Father and glory to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, it'd be great to get rewards, but most of all, I don't want the fire to try my life and it all be burned up. That all my works, all that I lived for was really, really nothing that mattered for eternity. Really nothing that really brought God glory and honor. I want my life to come forth as gold. I want my life to have brought honor to Him. Hey, what can we lose? We can lose close fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If we as children of God just live in sin and we go around trying to hide it and we don't want to get right with our Heavenly Father. What can we lose? Well, we can lose our rewards in heaven as Christians and children of God. We can still be saved, but yet go to heaven and have no rewards, no crowns to cast at the Savior's feet. Because we've just maybe lived foolishly. What you can't lose, and what you should lose. What you should lose is this. You should lose your life to gain eternal life. Lose your life to gain eternal life. In John chapter 12 and verse 25, it says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." You know, it doesn't matter if a person gains everything that this world has to offer. If you don't get saved, if you don't trust Jesus Christ, you will lose everything that is truly important. At best, you've got 70, 80, 90, 100, 110 years to live on this earth. And then your life is gone. It may be gone much earlier than that. You don't know. My brother was 22 years old when he was killed in a car accident. Just got married. A nice wedding. A beautiful bride. 7 weeks later, somebody ran a red light and hit his vehicle and he was killed. My dad was 45 years old when he was killed in a farm accident and his life was taken. Listen, if all you're living for is this life, listen, you're not guaranteed a tomorrow. If all you're living for is this life, can I tell you that even when you die, you're not taking anything with you? None of you have probably ever seen a funeral before in a funeral procession where they're going from a funeral home and they're going to the cemetery and here's one of those hearses and it's carrying the casket and then they've got a big U-Haul trailer hooked up to the back of it. Because when you die, you don't get to take any of it with you. And so if all you've lived for is just things of this earth, then you'll be left with nothing. Why not lose your life for the next? Lose your life to know Christ and to live for Christ and know that you have eternal life. Matthew 16:26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?"
Listen, you could gain the whole world. You can become famous. You can be successful in this thing or that thing. Successful in a career. Successful in a nameplate on your door. Successful in making money. Successful in building or achieving things just in this world's realm. But listen, if you've not lived for Christ and not lived for eternity, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be lost. You'll die without Christ. You'll spend eternity separated from God, the Creator. You'll never get to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. Heaven is not just some place where everybody goes to. You have to have been saved, is a Bible word. You have to have been born again, is a Bible word. You have to have come to realize that, you know what, God made me. God made me. I'm His creation. And He loves me. And I know I've sinned against Him. I know I've done things wrong. But I know that He loved me so much He sent His Son Jesus to die for me. He paid a penalty, high price, because He loved me. Because He wanted me to be saved. He didn't want me to spend eternity separated from Him in the lake of fire. He wants me to be with Him. He wants me to be in heaven. He wants me to have eternal life. You've got to believe the truth. You've got to believe that Christ is the only way to heaven. And you've got to trust Him and Him alone as your personal Savior. There's no other way. There's no other way. You could gain the whole world, but what does that matter if you lose your own soul? What if you've gained everything, but then at 55 years of age, you drop dead with a heart attack? What does it matter if you've gained the whole world, but then you get cancer and you get sick and you die in the hospital? What does it matter if you live a whole life and you've achieved and you've built some business or done this or that, but then you get killed in a car accident? What then? What then? Everybody will spend an eternity someplace. If you don't know Christ, you'll be lost forever and separated from God. What you should lose your life to gain eternal life. What you should lose your life to gain abundant life. Matthew 10 says this, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Why don't you nail your dreams and your plans and your will and your way of thinking to a cross? Why don't you decide that I want to fulfill God's plan for my life? I'm going to do His will and His purpose. I'm going to follow God's word rather than just doing what I want, what I think. I'm going to follow Him. Hey, there's no better choice you can make than to live for Christ, to live for God. Matthew 16 says, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." You know that the life that God wants to give you is far better than anything you could ever choose for yourself. Sometimes people go through life and, you know, I've got my ambitions and I've got my dreams and I got this and I want, listen, why not live for Christ? Why not live for God? There's no better decision you could ever make in your life than to live for Him. What He has for you is far better than anything you could ever plan out for yourself. What should you lose? Use your life to gain that abundant life, that blessed life that He wants you to have. What should you lose? Why not just lose your life to gain eternal life? Don't just live for self. Don't just live for this world. Don't just live for a life of sin and pleasure that, oh, I'm having a good time. I'm okay. I don't need anything. I don't need church. I don't need God. I don't need religion. I don't need this. I don't need that. Fine, live it up. Live for yourself. Live whatever life you want to live, but realize that when you die, for the rest of eternity, you'll be separated from God in a place of torment. We have a good time in this life too, being a Christian. It is good to be a Christian. It's good for later and it's good for now. I may be giving up some things to follow after Christ, but I'm not giving up anything that matters. It's the best possible life to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Our faith is not just some crutch we lean on. Oh, it's your crutch. It's just something you lean on because you're not big enough to. No, I'm big enough to believe in God. I'm big enough to believe He created this universe and He made me. I have faith to believe that He made us. I have faith to believe that He loves us. I have faith to believe that about 2,000 years ago He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And once I put my faith in Him, I maybe have lost some things, but I've gained everything. I've gained eternal life. I've gained a home in heaven. I've gained the forgiveness of sins. I've gained peace with God. I can lay my head down on a pillow at night knowing that my sins are forgiven. There's not an angry God up there who wants to punish me. No, He's forgiven me. He saved me. He loves me. And nothing can ever separate me from the love of God. It's the greatest life to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't know Him, I sure want you to know Him. I sure want you to know Him. Before you go home today, if you don't know Christ in your life, like you might think that this guy is something I don't have, okay? I do. If you don't know Jesus Christ like I know Him, would you talk to me about that? Just a brief word. Hey, Pastor, can you come talk to me sometime? I'd love to do that. We can meet at Tim Hortons. I'll buy you a coffee. Or I can come to your home. I'd love to talk to you. Because I want you to know Jesus like I know Him. I don't want you to just live life and it all be wasted and you not have eternal life. That'd be the greatest tragedy ever. Would be for you to die without Christ. When somebody has just taken, 40 minutes of your life to try to pour out His heart and share with you the Word of God and tell you how much God loves you. Jesus died for you. This is real. This is not religion. This is faith that is real. This is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And you need this. You need this. Let's pray together, Heavenly Father.